This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem. Bruchim Abayim. We're continuing in our shiurim on Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Vayera. Today's shiur, Parshas Vayera, is dedicated by our dear friend, Dr. Zakheim, Umishpachta, Lila Nishmas, Rav Shlomo Eliezer ben Rav Yaakov Zakheim, and Lila Nishmas, Dr. Zakheim's mother, Rivka Bas Tavi Halevi, Began Eden, Tehim Nuchasam, they should be Melitzer Yisharim for their whole family, Ad Bias Goyal Tzedek. Tonight's shiur is dedicated by the Ruzhin and Ryabinsky family in honor of our dear soldiers and their families. Hashem should watch over them. Hashem Yishmereu, V'yatzeh Mikol Tzaru V'tzuka, Mikol Neglo Machla, V'yishach Lahem, Bracha V'hatzlacha B'chol Ma'aseh Yadayim. Okay, so we're still in Bereishis, so you could get your Sefer on Bereishis Aleph. It's available here. Better bookstores. No, we're still in Bereishis. And Ascend, I don't think you have enough copies, you know? You could get it on the website or better bookstores. Hanukkah is coming. Get your The Light and the Splendor. It's available, artscroll.com. And Bezus Hashem, we submit it to print Rebbe Meir and the Eternal Children of Hashem. If anybody still wants to be Mishtatef, it is available. Tonight I want to share with you an approach to Akedas Yitzchak. This is a presentation that I've given before. I consider this a great gift from Shamayim. It was worthwhile to come here, I mean to Olam Hazeh, just to be able to share this approach in the Akedah. But I specifically want to share it now because this is a very timely approach. And Be'ezus Hashem, we will see new chidushim because Ein Beis HaMedrash B'li Chidosh. Let us begin Akedas Yitzchak. Vayihi Achar Hadvarim Ha'ela. And it was after these things. V'ho Elohim Nisas Abraham. And the Almighty tested Abraham. Question number one. Really? God tested Abraham? Was he the one who was tested more than anybody else? Was it really his test? I mean, it definitely was a challenge to Abraham. But I would think it's a bigger challenge to Yitzchak. Abraham gets to go home afterwards. He's alive. He's breathing. Yitzchak's the one whose neck is going to be slaughtered. I mean, who exactly is being tested here? Abraham or Yitzchak? Shouldn't it have said, Yitzchak? Or at least, es Abraham vi Yitzchak, but not Yitzchak. Yitzchak wasn't tested. Only Abraham was tested. And this is the question of the Balei HaToisvus, who quotes Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, Hiksha HaRabbi Yehuda HaChassid Nisa Es Avraham Ve'es Yitzchak HaYeloi Loimar. It should have said he tested Avraham and Yitzchak Ki Gam Yitzchak Nisnasa. That's question number one. Question number two. Vayoimer, God said, Avraham said, what can I do for you? Hashem said, Kach na, please take. Who should I take? Es Bincha, your son. Es Yechidcha, your only son. Asher Ahavta, that you love. As Yitzchak. Now we know. Now those who are living on those who are listening on podcast, they don't like when the mic is on the table. So I'm going to put it on a very absorbent surface. Hopefully, it will come out better. This is one of the most expensive things in this world, if not the most expensive thing, is words in the Torah. The Torah is written with the utmost brevity and conciseness. Halachos of major significance are learnt out from an extra letter. So why does the Torah have to say, Kach na es bincha, siyachidcha, I have a great idea. The Rebbeinu should say, Kach na es Yitzchak. Is anything missing? Would anything be lost if it were to say, Kach na es Yitzchak? So Rashi, of course, says that Hashem said, take your son. Aram said, I have two kids. So Hashem says, your only son. So Avram says they're both only sons of their mother. Asher Ahavta, that you love. Avram says, I love both of them. Oh, it's Yitzchak. Oh, Yitzchak. Okay. So then why didn't Hashem just say, Kach nas Yitzchak? Cut straight to the chase. What's this whole arichos? So Rashi says, Well, just say, Kach Nas Yitzchak. That's as explicit as you ever get. So just say that. So Rashi says, well, if Hashem would have just said, Kach Nas Yitzchak, you might mistakenly have thought that Avram was so startled in this mitzvah. Avram was so shocked that the shock of it made him lose his sanity, Chas V'Shalom, and he did it not out of a rational decision, but he did it in a moment of he lost his equilibrium. So Hashem brought it on slowly. Take your son. Really, which one? Take your only son. Yeah, but they're both only the one that you love. Now, is that the full reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam did it this way? Is this any less shocking? I mean, if somebody would come to a parent, take your kid. Is that not shocking? Is that a way of bringing it on slowly? Does that make it any more easy to swallow? Where, oh, don't worry, your son. Yeah, but I don't know which one, so it's easier for the person to swallow. Is that the full reason? And if Hashem really wanted to keep things calm, He should have said, Abraham, are you sitting? And Abraham could have said, what do you want? Let's go for a little stroll. And Hashem could have taken him for a little walk. And Hashem could have said, you know, it's been, you know, I really appreciate your service. I really appreciate the time that you jumped in the fire. There are many, many ways Hashem could have brought it on slow. Why did Hashem Dafka choose this way? Take your son, your only son that you love. Take Yitzchak. Is this the only way to bring this on? Now another thing. Another question is, really? Did Avraham really think that Hashem meant Yishmael? That's who Hashem wanted? He was already mitzachek. He was already murdering and serving Avodah Zarah. Did Avraham really think that Hashem wanted as a carbon Yishmael? Avraham had such a thought? Was that seriously considered? That Avraham didn't know who does Hashem want, Yitzchak or Yishmael? Why would Avraham entertain the possibility that Hashem meant Yishmael? And furthermore, this is the question of the century, the 21st and the 20th century. This is the biggest question you'll ever hear on the whole Chumash, at least in the next 5 minutes. Asks Tosfos. So Avraham wakes up in the morning. He saddles his donkey. He takes his two lads. Says Rashi, who are they? Yishmael and Eliezer. So we're accustomed to thinking, how many people went to the Akedah? Four. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yishmael, Eliezer. Good. Simple question. What in the world is Yishmael doing there? How did he get there? So what do you mean? He walked with Avraham. What do you mean, how did he get there? What I mean is, he was thrown out of the house last week's parsha. You remember Sarah? Avram says, don't you love this kid? Sarah said, he's an oisfarf. Goreshes ben ha'ama. Chase the kid out of the house. Don't send him to a yeshiva for OTD. Don't slide with him. Don't be patient with him. Don't get him a tutor. Don't give him special classes. Get him out of the house. None of this 21st century, you know. Don't put him in a special track, a special class, a special yeshiva. Throw the kid out. That's what Sarah said. Get him out of here. Avram said, please, you know, I'll learn with him extra during Mishmar. Get him out of here. Goresh. And don't let the door hit him when he leaves. Chase him out. Don't ask him nicely. Chase him out. Scare him away. And the pasuk says, he left. Where did he go? B'midbar Par. He went to the desert. So what's he doing here? Do we find in any of the psukim in between that he came back? No. Does anybody know how long ago Sarah and Avram chased Yishmael out of the house? Well, this is talking about after Yitzchak's Mila, after Yishmael's Mila. Yishmael was 13 when Avraham was told that Yitzchak would be born. So Yishmael was 14 when Yitzchak was born. L'chaira, by now, this was after Yitzchak was 2 years old, so Yishmael must have been 16 years old at least. And now, how old was Yitzchak at the Akedah? 37. So this is a good 35 years. Nobody's seen the kid. We haven't seen this guy for 35 years. This chalaria has been missing in action. Nobody saw anything. There's not one pasuk that says, oh, Yishmael, he was shooting arrows in Saudi Arabia. He was schmoozing it up in Qatar, you know? He was making deals in Dubai. We don't know where he was. He was not with Avraham Avinu. So what in the world is he doing at the Akedah? You ever think about that question? How did he get there? It's the biggest question you ever heard. What's he doing that day? How did he get there? Why? And why did Abraham take him? Why did he take him? Says Tosfos, must be, it was visiting day. He came to visit. He must have come to visit. And the day he came back, that night Hashem said, Kachna es bincha es yechidcha asher ahavta. So Abraham says, wait a second. I haven't seen Yeshua in 35 years. Now, 35 years later, God comes to me, Kachna es bincha es yechidcha, it must be Yishmael. It has to be him. Well, you think it's a coincidence? I haven't seen the kid in 35 years. He comes back 35 years later. God didn't ask me for nothing. He didn't ask me for a pencil, not a suitcase, not a birthday cake. And now all of a sudden, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I want your kid as a carbon. It has to be Yishmael, Avram thinks. Well, I have Yitzchak's been sitting in the house for 35 years. The Ribbono Shel Olam never said a word about Yitzchak. Yishmael comes back, and that night, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Kachna es bincha yichidcha. So Avram says, it must be Yishmael. Hashem says, I got you. It's Yitzchak. Just say, you see? Nice try. Got you there. Busted. It's Yitzchak. It's not Yishma. So then, I ask you a question. You think it's coincidence that the Ribbono Shel Olam waited 35 years until the day Yishmael returned and then Hashem said, take him, but not him. You think it's coincidence that it just happens to be that Hashem told Avram about the Akedah the day that Yishmael returned? I mean, I have to think, I cannot help but think that Hashem orchestrated that he waited until Yishmael returned and then said to Avraham, I want you to take him and not him.
Do we know why Yishmael returned?
No, we don't know why. All we know is that he did. But what I'm asserting is this cannot be coincidental. This has to be a secret, fundamental aspect of the Akedah that Yishmael happened to return and Hashem said, oh, he's there? Not him. Why couldn't it be a week before? And then Hashem could have said, Kachnas Yitzchak. Right? In other words, why did Hashem make it so confusing to Abraham? If he wanted to take Yitzchak, he had 35 years to tell Abraham, take Yitzchak.
Didn't you say that he was going to be Moser Nefesh?
Yeah.
Have a meal by age 13?
That conversation took place a very long time ago, but we're gonna discuss that. That conversation took place, L'chaira, after the Mila of Yitzchak Avinu. Okay. Another question. Vayomer Avraham el Ne'arav. Avraham says to his lads, meaning Eliezer and Yishmael, Shavu lachem payim hachamar. Sit here with the donkey. Va'ani v'hanar nelchadkai. And I and the lad will go to yonder. The Gemara in Kedushin, the Gemara in Yevamos, Darshins, Am hadoyme lechamar, that a Jewish kid who is the son of a maidservant, namely Yishmael, enoy miyuchas acharav, is not his kid, is not your kid. You have a kid with a Gentile, the kid is not your kid. He's like a donkey. He's a donkey on two legs. He's mahal cheshtayim. A two-legged, they're four-legged donkeys, and they're two-legged donkeys. What are there more of? You know the answer to that. So the Beis Halevi asks, why does the Gemara Darshan, specifically from the Akedah, that a child produced from a Shivcha is not Miyuchas Acharav? I mean, this is a Shaila in Hilchas Yichas, that if the mother is not Jewish, the child is not Jewish. Why, Dafka, should we learn this out from the Parsha of the Akedah, that a mother who's a Shivcha produces a child who's not Jewish? What's it got to do over here? So the Beis Halevi famously says that Avraham Avinu, as he's about to Shecht Yitzchak, lest he think to himself, all right, Nishke Ferlach, I'm Shechting Yitzchak. I still have one kid left. It's not such a big deal. Okay, yeah, Yitzchak is a big loss, but I still have another kid left. So Hashem wants to ingrain in him, no, you have nobody left. This kid is not your kid. In order to magnify the test, Avram is ingraining in his mind, I'm Shechting Yitzchak and I have nothing left because this kid is not a kid. He's not my child. But we're going to explain even further why it is necessary at this juncture to establish that Yishmael has the halachic status of a donkey. Here's a big clue. Okay? Now, I tell you, this entire thing, tonight's presentation is completely original. However, after you hear it, I want you to say, you know what? This is the straightforward understanding of the Akedah. Okay, so it's a chiddush. I didn't find it anywhere, but I think it's so compelling. This is the approach.
Why didn't you say? You should have said, "Vika has Yitzchok as Shinein or Vitoy." Why does it say Yitzchok last? He's the key over here, Yitzchok. Should have been mentioned first.
Okay, we'll see if we're able to answer that. We'll see. Here's a very important clue. At the end of the Akedah, the Malach comes and he says, "Kivarei chavarecha, I will surely bless you. V'harba arba zaracha, I will increase your children kechochvei hashamayim, like the stars. V'chachol asher al sfas hayam, and like the sand. V'yirash zaracha eishar oyevav. And your descendants will inherit the gates of their enemy." So we read these words, and we take it to mean that the Akedah is a great zchus, that through this zchus, we overcome, we ascend above our enemy. But you know, the word oyev is a very specific word. The word oyev is not a generic term. Oyev is a very specific reference. You see, in Jewish history, we have two enemies that have two distinct names. We have an enemy called Oyevecha, Oyev, and we have an enemy called Soineecha, Soinei. And believe you me, there are many nations vying for these very prestigious roles. Who could be our Oyev? Who could be our Soinei? You have 70 nations, the United Nations, they all wish that they could be the Oyev or they could be the Soinei. However, the Rishonim identify that the term Oyev and Soinei are very specific terms. The term Soinei refers to Esav. Like Chazal say, Halacha biyadua Esav Soinei liYaakov. Okay, not Halacha l'Moshe miSinai. Don't show off Am Aratzos. People say, Halacha l'Moshe is not Halacha l'Moshe. Halacha biyadua Esav Soinei liYaakov. Esav is our Soinei. He's our enemy. And who's the Oyev? Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, Oyev is Yishmael. Throughout Tanakh, Oyev is Yishmael. Who is worse? Oyev Godol min HaSoinei. And Oyev is worse than HaSoinei. Because HaSoinei, he is going to harm you, but he could have Rachmanis. And Oyev, who Shebelibay Eva Oylamis, is eternal enmity. Lo Yasim Lo Yrachamim, will not have mercy. Al Zokein Yachbid Uloy Ma'oid. He could take a Holocaust survivor. And he could say, you didn't survive, you survived Eichmann, you survived Hitler, I'll knock you off. You survived the Soinei, you won't survive the Oyev. That's Yishmael. Yishmael is worse than the Soinei. Can you imagine the words of Rabbeinu Bechaye? You know what we say about Yishmael? Al el zokein yachbid ulaim oyed. They have no mercy on the elderly. And they're called oyev because from an oyev you cry out, oy vavoy. Okay, now, so that means if at the end of the Akedah, the Malach says, you will overcome oyevav, I can't help but think that the Malach is telling Avraham, in this zechus you will overcome Yishmael. In other words, somehow the Akedah is the way we overcome Yishmael. So let's try to study this, let's understand what exactly is the role of the Akedah in overcoming Yishmael. Because another important question is, you know, the Christians, in their Bible, they do not tamper with the narrative in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the Old Testament. The Yishmaelim, they distort and corrupt this story. They have a story of the Akedah. But you know who Avraham was makriv on the Akedah? Yishmael. Somehow, the Yishmaelim, they recognize that this story is not consistent with their theology. So the only way to reconcile it is to change the main character. And they literally change the main character in their Quran. And it's Abraham brought Ishmael. Why of all the narratives in the Chumash do they change this narrative? Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, listen to this. Rashi tells us, the Akedah begins, Achar Hadvar Ma'ila, after these matters. After what matters, right? Achar Hadvar Ma'ila sounds like after something we just said, so the Akedah precipitated. What is it? So Rashi says, you know, after the Satan prosecuted, and he said, you know, Avraham made so many parties. He didn't bring you any karbanos, God. He did everything for his own glory. Why didn't he bring you any karbanos? God says, is there anything he wouldn't do for his son? And yet if I would ask him to bring his son, he would bring it. So after this conversation with the Satan, Hashem had to show the Satan, you see, Avraham would bring me a karban. I just realized that this is one approach to explain why it says God tested Avraham. Of course it was a test for Yitzchak. But it was designated as a test specifically to Abraham in response to the Satan's challenge. The Satan said, you know, Abraham doesn't bring you any karbanos. So Hashem said, no, watch this. So it's a test for a lot of people, but it's a designated test to Abraham. But then Rashi says something amazing. This is what Rabasi was bringing up. It's after the words of Yishmael. Yishmael said to Yitzchak, Yitzchak, who do you think you are? You're a real servant of God? Because you have a milah? Shkayach, you have milah at 8 days old. What do you know? You don't have a choice. What do you feel? You're not fully developed. I had a milah at 13 years old. I'm a bigger Oyved Hashem than you. To which Yitzchak says, Yishmael, you're bigger. If God would tell me to sacrifice myself, I would do it. Oh, really? Okay, let's go. Let's go, Yitzchak. That's Achar Hadvar Ma'ila. After Yitzchak pledged that if God would say, sacrifice yourself, he said he would do it, so now he has to do it. So I would humbly suggest, that's why the Pasuk doesn't say God tested Yitzchak. You know why it doesn't say God tested Yitzchak? He just said he would do it. He just committed himself to do it. Imagine a guy gets up, you know? If I now pledge, I commit myself, then I'm going to get up every single day at 4 a.m. and in 3 months I'm going to learn the whole Yerushalmi. Okay? And then God comes down and he tells everyone in the shul, I want everybody to get up at 4 a.m. and in 3 months learn the whole Yerushalmi. Who's he testing? Everyone besides that guy who got up and pledged to learn the Yerushalmi. Because that guy just made a neder. It's not God testing him, he's testing himself. He committed. He has to do it. So that kid is not a test for Yitzchak. Yitzchak said he made a neder, he's going to do it. It's not a test for Yitzchak. It's a test for Avraham. Avraham didn't say he's going to kill his kid. Yitzchak said he would accept the challenge. Fine. So what's going on over here? They come to the Har Habayis, and the Medrash tells us, in Bereishis Rabbah, the Das Kanim brings this Medrash, that they get up to the mountain, and Avraham says to Yitzchak, Bini, Roya at Mashani Roya. You see what I see? Because it says, Vayaras Hamakoy Meirachaik. They saw God from a distance. There was a cloud on top of Har Habayis, and that was the Shechina. So he says, Yitzchak, you see what I see? He says, yeah, of course. He turns to Eliezer and Yishmael. Do you see what I see? They say, see what? We don't see anything. We see nothing. So Abraham says, really, you see nothing? So there's something you guys share in common with the donkey. The donkey doesn't see anything. And you don't see anything. So you stay here with the donkey. And me and Yitzchak will go up to Har HaMoriah.
Hamakam over here means the
Eibishter? Yeah, Vayaras Hamakam Erachak, L'chaira. Yeah. They saw God from a distance. That's the Pshat Am Hadoy Melechamar. Let me share with you what I think is taking place over here. But let's throw in one more clue. You know, according to Rashi, Achar Hadvar Ma'ila, after these matters, that the Akedah took place after these matters. What were these matters? A conversation between Yishmael and Yitzchak, where Yishmael says, I'm a bigger servant of God, I have more sacrifice than you, because my milah is at 13 years old and your milah is at 8 days. And Yitzchak said, you know, if God would tell me to sacrifice myself, I would do it. Really? Then, you know, there's a whole episode injected in between the milah of Yitzchak and the Akedah. You know what that episode is? There's a man by the name of Avimelech. He's the king of the Gaza Strip. He's the king of the Philistines. And he makes a peace treaty with Abraham. And that episode is injected in between the Milah of Yitzchak and the story of the Akedah. What's it doing there? So I would be remiss if I didn't share with you the very frightening words of the Rashbam. We say over very often that, you know what it's doing there? God gave Abraham the land of Israel. And God said, I'm giving it to you to live there. I'm not giving it to you to negotiate with terrorists, with people who manipulate you psychologically. There's no negotiating with terrorists. You're going to negotiate with a terrorist to give him trade land for peace? Really? You trade land for peace? Go kill your son. I didn't give you Israel, and I didn't give you children to give it away. So I would humbly suggest, why is the punishment kill Yitzchak? Because at the Bris Bein Abisarim, God promised Avraham two things, Eretz Yisrael and children, and they're dependent on each other. So if Avraham Avinu is going to give back the land, God said, give me back your kid. You have no, Hashem did not give Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael to negotiate. It's not negotiable. Could you say, you know, I'll give you back the mitzvah of tefillin for peace. These are not negotiable items. You're going to negotiate, and the Rashbam says, for the seven treaties that were made, seven tragedies happened to the Jewish people. Okay, without any editorial comments, without any insinuations, these are the words of the Rashbam at face value. That the Akedah was not a lashon of test, it was a lashon of masa umariva. Really? You're giving back a land of Eretz Yisrael? I'm going to torture you now. That's the Rashbam. However, Rashi doesn't learn that way. So then why exactly is the episode of Avimelech injected in between this conversation of Yitzchak and Yishmael and the Akedah? Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a fabulous idea. Who remembers from 2 weeks ago? Why does Yishmael have any type of merit at all to be on the Holy Land? What right did Ishmael have to be in Eretz Yisrael? So we learned the Zayar HaKadosh, the end of Va'era, the Zechus of Bris Milah, the Zechus of Milah. Now that's a little bit frightening. So what are we supposed to do about that? Because they still do Milah, they have that Zechus. So how are we gonna get them out? It's something which is very frightening. That at the end of the day, Yishmael has a tremendous chus, and it's a chus at 13 years old. So Hashem wants to assuage our feelings and calm us down and let us know that, you know, as much as Mila is a chus, it's not that big of a deal. You know what the proof is? The proof is, which nation in Tanakh is repeatedly called Arelim? Uncircumcised. Every time this nation appears in the Vim and Ksuvim, they're always called uncircumcised. Arelim. The Philistim, the Philistines. They are the quintessential Arelim. For example, Shoiftim, Perak Yadal Pasa Gimel, Ha'ein Bevanois, Lakachta Isha Mibnois, Pelishtim Ha'arelim, or Vinafalti Biad Arelim, or Vina'avar El Matzav Ha'arelim, or Pen Yavoyu Ha'arelim, or Pen Ta'aloizna Benois Ha'arelim, or in Divrei Yomim, Pen Yavoyu. The Philistim are the definition of uncircumcised. So why are they in Israel? Must be Mila's not a big deal, because if even these Chayaras are in Eretz Yisrael, Mila must not be that big of a Zechus, because they don't have it even. So before even the story of the Akedah, the Torah is downplaying that as great as Mila is, it's not really what allows someone to be in Eretz Yisrael. It's important, it's good, it's not that great. The Harai, the Philistines are there. So you ready for this? This is, I think, what's going on over here. There's a very big battle between Yitzchak and Yishmael. The battle is, who's the heir of Avraham Avinu? Who inherits the rights to be Mamleches Kohanim, a Goy Kadosh, the real Oivdei Hashem, the continuum of the legacy of Abraham, of divine revelation, who are really dedicated to the Ribbono Shel, the real Ovdei Hashem. And there's Yitzchak and Yishmael are both vying for it. And Yishmael says, come on, Yitzchak, you have a milah at 8 days old, I have a milah at 13 years old. And Yitzchak says, well, I would sacrifice myself completely. And they're vying and they're vying. And Sarah says, this kid, he shouldn't even be, she'd be disqualified from the beginning. Get him out of the house. Kick him out. So what does Avram do? Does he want to do it? He doesn't want to do it. God twisted his arm. What did God say? Koil asher toimar elecha Sarah shema b'koil. Listen to the lady. Listen to her. I have a question. Do you think Avraham did it because he really felt that Yishmael was completely disqualified? Or he had no choice? He had no choice. And God understood that Avraham listening, not, okay, this is just between me, me and you. Not everything, not every time you listen to your wife is because you fully agree, right? I don't mean me. I always fully agree. And also anybody listening thinks is at the shir also fully agrees. But there are people out there that when they listen to their wife, it doesn't mean they fully agree. They just, they know what's good for them. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying to Avraham, you cannot think that Yitzchak is your continuity because you're listening to her. It can't just be because she told you. You need to independently come to the recognition that this kid is not in the running. Not just because Sarah said, Goresh has ben ho'am ha'azois. And I told you, you need to recognize that Yishmael has no connection to Kedusha. You see, this machloikis is not just who's the continuity of Abraham. It's also who has rights to Eretz Yisrael. Because Yishmael says, look, I have the real Mila. Israel is mine. I have the Mila. Ha-Habayis is mine. They're arguing about the eternal rights to the Holy Land. That's the machloikis, Yishmael and Yitzchak. And even though Yishmael was thrown out of the house, yeah, but he was thrown out by Sarah. But did Avraham really wholeheartedly dismiss him from any contention? So listen to what the Ribbono Shel Olam did. If Hashem would come to Avraham and say, in the last 35 years, take Yitzchak and bring him as a carbon, then Yishmael could always rear his head and say, well, I wasn't home. It's not like you chose him. You only could prove that chocolate ice cream, by the way, chocolate is much better than vanilla. It's proven, it's a fact. Chocolate is better than vanilla. But it's only proven if you have both chocolate and vanilla and you choose the chocolate. But if you go into the store and you say, what flavors are available? And they say chocolate and you order chocolate, it doesn't mean chocolate's better than vanilla. Could be really vanilla's better, but they don't have it in the store. So if it would have been any other night, where only Yitzchak's at home and Yishmael wasn't around and Avraham chose Yitzchak, that's not a choice. Is it a choice to choose Yitzchak if Yishmael's not around? So the Ribbono Shel Olam made sure Yishmael would be there. And then Hashem says, Kach na es bincha. Avraham said, I have two. Sarah's like, no you don't. Avraham said, but yeah, I do. I know what you think, but I know what I think. I have two children. And this is exactly why Hashem had to do the Akedah. Because Avram still thought Yishmael was Benoi. Even though Sarah said Garesh, Avram in his heart wasn't Garesh. So Hashem said, Yechidcha, your only son. Yeah, they're both only. That you love, I love both of them. Says Hashem, Yitzchak. Listen carefully, this is how I would interpret it. Hashem is saying, I want you to know, you only have one bincha, Avraham. You need to really recognize what Sarah told you. You only have one bincha. Stop that nonsense. You have two benais. You only have one yechidcha. You only have one ahavta. Really, who? Yitzchak. Not just like Rashi saying, yeah, that's al pi pshat, but I think there's another element over here. that Hashem is being koiveya, He's establishing. There's only one Ben Avraham. There's only one Yachid. There's only one Ahavta. And it's Yitzchak. And Avraham is like, why? Doesn't Yishmael have rights to the Holy Land? Doesn't the Zayar say he has Mila? Didn't I daven ki lu Yishmael yechya lefanecha? But I want to connect this to something the Zayar said that we read last week. Remember the Zayar said that when the Malach argued that Yishmael has Mila, Hashem said he doesn't really have Mila. He doesn't have Priya. He does it externally. Therefore, the Zayar says Hashem gave him Eretz Yisrael Shalmata, but he didn't give him Eretz Yisrael Shalmala. In other words, he's not connected to the spiritual roots of Eretz Yisrael. So Avram doesn't understand. So Hashem says, watch this. They go, they're opposite the mountain. Vayaras Hamakim, they see God. So Hashem says to Yitzchak, Avram says, you see? He says, yeah, of course, Tata. He turns to Yishmael, you see? What? Hashem says, you see? You want to know who's the real Ben? You want to know who's your continuity? And Avraham is forced to say that not only is Yishmael not Benoi, not only is he not Yechidai, not only does he doesn't love him, you know what Yishmael is? He's a donkey. He's a donkey. His connection to the spiritual roots of Eretz Yisrael, you know what Yishmael's connection to the Harabayis is? Chamar. It could be a Chamar on the Harabayis. Doesn't mean he has sovereignty over the Harabayis. That's the connection of Yishmael. They're Am HaDoim L'Chamar. That's why we need to darshan. They have the halachic status of Chamar. Meaning, Avraham needs on his own to come what Sarah taught him in Lech Lecha, Hashem is teaching him in Vayera. It's not good enough to listen just, oh, you know what? Why are you in Shul? A lot of people. Why are you in Shul? Because my wife told me. It doesn't mean they want to be there. A lot of things people do because their wife told them. Why are you doing exercise? My wife told me. Why are you in shul? The guy's in the coffee room for 3 hours straight. So why'd you come? You should have stayed home. Isn't it more comfortable at home? Don't you have better coffee at home? Yeah, but my wife doesn't let me drink from 9 to 12. So at least I come here. A lot of things people do because their wife told them. So Sarah told Avraham, Garesh. Yeah, but Hashem needs Avraham to understand this on his own. So it comes out that the entire purpose of the Akedah is to show the supremacy of Yitzchak over Yishmael. That's why at the end of the Akedah, what does the Malach say? Beyirash Zaracha Eis Shar Oivav. Your descendants will inherit the gates of their Oyev, their enemy, Yishmael. This is the downfall of Yishmael. In other words, if you want to know, where in the Chumash do we see that there's only one continuity of Avraham? That there's only one descendant that has connection to the Holy Land? That there's only one descendant that has rights to the Harabayis? Akedas Yitzchak. Therefore, is it a mystery why there's one episode in the Chumash that the Yishmaelim switch the main character? Of course this is going to be, because their whole downfall, the biggest dagger in their heart, is the story of the Akedah. The Akedah is what proves the ascendancy of Yitzchak and the Bnei Avraham over Yishma. Is there any better way to understand this story? This is the story. This is the purpose of the Akedah. First, the Torah says, don't get so caught up. And you might say, oh, but they have Mila. Mila. Even Philistines could be in Eretz Yisrael. Philistines could also be in Eretz Yisrael. And also Filipinos are there today. They're also Arelim. So you don't need Mila. Mila is not such a big deal. Don't get so caught up with the Zayar. That's why the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, Achar Hadvar Ma'ila. I saw an amazing chiddush from the Baal Shevet Musar, Eliyahu HaKohen of Izmir. You know, there's a ritual called Pidyon Peter Chamar, where a firstborn donkey you have to redeem with a sheep. What's the symbolism of this ritual? Says the Shevet Musar, it's a reenactment of the Akedah. The Chamar Yishmael was hoping that Yitzchak would have been killed at the Akedah, and Yishmael would have been the heir. But instead, Yitzchak was redeemed for a sheep. So basically, right? Elokim Yir Eloi Haseh. So the purpose of Pidyon Peter Chamar is to reenact where you had a donkey Ishmael and God rejected the donkey and exchanged it for a sheep. That's the symbolism of Pinyan Petach Amar. Okay, now fasten your seatbelts. You ready for this? There's a Ramban that's a frightening Ramban. Does anybody know the reason for the October 7th Simchas Torah massacre? The sin. What was the sin? You ready for the sin? Say, no, don't do that. Don't say this publicly. You can't go there. We're done with that, right? We're done with those days where people... No, it's not me. You know the Ramban says? The Ramban says the reason why the Jewish people suffer from Yishmael. You know why? Because in last week's parsha, Sarah couldn't have a kid. So Sarah said, I have a great idea. That why doesn't Abraham marry Hagar? And she'll conceive. And in the zechus of me, it seems that's the reason why Sarah took her and gave her to Abraham. And the zechus that Sarah brought was Yachnes. Nisim, it says your last name in Rashi, in last week's parsha. The zechus that Sarah was Yachnes, a tzara into the house, so that she should be zechut to have a child. And Hagar lives with Abraham, and maybe a rishayna, she has a kid. So remember we pointed out last week that Hagar said, look, I'm much more righteous than Sarah. She's with him for 20 years. They can't have a kid for all these years. And I was Nisaber Mibia Rishayna. So the pasuk says, Vateikal Gavir Tabeinaha. She looked down on Sarah. She was condescending to Sarah. So what did Sarah do? Sarah got angry at Avram. She says, Avram, Chamasi Alecha. My anger is against you. So Avram says, Sarah, whatever you say, take her, do whatever you want. Vata'aneha Sarai. Sarah abused Hagar. She afflicted her. What did she do? I don't know. She afflicted Hagar. Says Ramban, Chata imenu bi'inoi hazeh. Our mother Sarah sinned by afflicting Hagar. And Avraham let her do it. Avraham sinned. And the Malach comes to Hagar and he said, don't worry. Bikarashima Yishmael, Kisham Hashem Elonyech, God heard your affliction. And because of that, Vahuyah Pera Adam, he's going to be a wild man. Says Ramban, Vishama Hashem Elonyech, God heard her affliction. Venasim La Ben, and he gave her a son, Shia Pera Adam, who will be an animal. La'anoi Zera Avram, to afflict the descendants of Avraham b'chol minei ho'inoi, with all types of affliction. Says Ramban, why do we suffer from Yishmael? Because Sarah hurt Hagar's feelings. Sarah hurt Hagar's feelings. So we suffer today because of the sin of Sarah and Avraham. It's a pella. Where did the Ramban get this from? Hagar wasn't Jewish even. You have to be careful with someone else's feelings. Sarah afflicted Hagar. Because of that, we suffer till today. Every terrorist attack, every bombing, every stabbing, it's a punishment for the sin of Sarah and also Abraham. That's what the Ramban says. There might be some basis in the Zayar for such an idea. But many Rishonim disagree with the Ramban. The Bali HaToisis, the Riva, says, he quotes Ramban, that Sarah did the right thing. Why? Because Hagar started. Doesn't the pasuk say, Vateikal Gevirta Be'eneha, that she looked down on Sarah? She said, oh, you're not so righteous. You're not as righteous as you think. You've been with the guy for so many years, you couldn't have a kid. I'm much more righteous than you. So she insulted her. Yeah, but Sarah did nekama. Says Riva, who says you're not to take revenge? You only can't take revenge if someone hurts you monetarily. If someone hurts your feelings, you could get back at them. That's the shita of the smag, and that's what Sarah did. Sarah did nothing wrong. She did the right thing. Abarbanel quotes Ramban, and he says, Eina Dovrakin. Ramban's not correct, Abarbanel says. That's if you're on a very high level. But that's if you're just insulted, if you're abused, you get back at them. That's the shita of the smag. There's no iser nekama. I'm not saying we paskin this way. If I'm not mistaken, the Chafetz Chaim says it's a machloikis rishonim v'savik daraisa l'chumra. So before you get back at somebody who insulted you, ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Luckily, I'm not local enough to where you live, but it's a machloikis rishonim. But according to Abar Benel and the Riva, the Ramban is not correct. Sara was correct. The Abar Benel says, because Hagar was arrogant, the only way to cure an arrogant person is to put them down and put them in their place. Okay? So that's an amazing machlokes. The Ramban doesn't hold to that. The Ramban holds you still can't take revenge. That's the machlokes we shine. Okay? Fasten your seatbelts. The Chida, Reb Chaim Yosef David Azulai, had a photographic memory, and he traveled to the libraries in Europe and he memorized manuscripts of Rishonim that have not become available until this century. One of the Rishonim the Chida saw was Rabbi Yaakov Sakili, a Talmud of the Rashba. And Rabbi Yaakov Sakili brings something out of this world. This is a story that we didn't know about until the writings of the Arizal, but the Chida already saw it in the Rishonim. And we mentioned it recently. And that is Yishai, the father of David HaMelech, was getting nervous. He thought that maybe Doeg was right. Maybe he wasn't allowed to marry into the family of Moav, of Rus. And that maybe all of his children were puzzle. So he decided he's going to separate from his wife, Nitzeves Bas Adoel, and he's going to live with his maidservant, and his children will be Avodim, and he'll free them, like Rav Tarfon says about Mamzerim, and this way his children will become pure. So Yishai told his wife, it's been nice knowing you. And he made up to rendezvous with the Shifcha on a certain time. The Shifcha was loyal to her mistress. So she told the wife about the plan. So the mistress, the Shifcha was going to live with Yishai. His wife dressed up like the Shifcha, lived with Yishai. She conceived. Yishai thought it was the Shifcha. A few months later, news breaks that Yishai's old wife is pregnant. Yishai says, from who? She doesn't say a word. Yishai said, I don't know what's going on over here. The kid's a mamzer. The brothers, the sons of Yishai, wanted to kill her. They were going to murder her. They were going to kill their mother because she was mezana. They were going to kill the baby David because he's a mamzer. Yishai said, not a good idea. It's not going to be good for Shidduchim. That's not what he said, but it's going to be moitzi laz on you. Because people are going to think you're a mamzerim. So they let David live. And they paskin David was a mamzer. When did they discover David was not a mamzer? When Shmuel came to say, he's the next king of Israel. They said, really? But he's a mamzer. David says, no. Shmuel says, he ain't no mamzer. He's the next king of Israel. He broke the story. He broke the story. Fine. That's the story. That is as sensational as it comes. Comes Rabbi Yaakov Sakili, comes the Chida, and he says there's more to the story. Because the Ramami Pano asks, why did the maidservant let the wife of Yishai know the plan? I mean, what maidservant who would have the opportunity to live with the master would give it back to the woman of the house? Says Ramami Pano, our tradition is the maidservant of Yishai was the Gilgal of Hagar. And she needed to come back to this world to rectify her sin. What was her sin? Her sin was she abused Sarah. So to rectify that, she came back to this world to humble herself before her mistress. And therefore, Hagar ultimately was corrected, was niskan, was fixed up. How? By being loyal to Eshes Yishai. What did she need to fix? She insulted Sarah, so now she has to come back and be faithful and loyal to the wife of Yishai. So I ask you one simple question here. Do Goyim have Gilgal? I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. Hagar had. I have one simple question. Is this the only thing Hagar did that she needs tikkun for? Was this the only wrongdoing that Hagar needs tikkun for? That she insulted Sarah? I could actually think of another bad thing that Hagar brought to this world that she probably needs correction for. You know what else I think Hagar needs correction for? You know what else she needs tikkun for? The fact she brought the monster Yishmael into the world. The Pera Adam. Doesn't Hagar need tikkun for bringing Yishmael into the world? So watch how God orchestrates, is Mesabev Kol HaSivuvim, to bring tikkun to Hagar. Because we know, we have a tradition, that in the end of days there are two galusim. There's galus Edom, and there's galus Yishmael. We learned last week from the Arizal, the head is Bavel, the two arms are Paras and Madai, the body is Yavan, and the two long, long legs are Edom and Yishmael. Pirkei Rabbi Elazar also says, in the end of days, galus Yishmael. Rashi and Zechariah, Yalkut Shemaini, the end of days, galus Yishmael. We also have a concept, the Gemara and Sukkah, we have two Mashiachs. Mashiach ben Yosef takes us out of galus Edom. Mashiach ben David is the antidote to Yishmael. Because Esav is called a bull, a shar, an ox. Yosef is called a good ox. Bechar shoyroi hadarlai. So Mashiach ben Yosef, who's the shar, takes us out of the galus of the shar. And Mashiach ben David is ani, the poor man, the humble man, v'roichev, al chamor. He's the good chamor. He takes us out of the galus chamor. Yishma is ani, is shvulachem payim achamor. So David is the antidote to Yishmael. So Hagar, aside from being misaken, the fact that she abused Sarah, so she comes back and she's loyal to her mistress, but what about the fact that she brought Yishmael to the world? So she comes back and she says, well, I'm going to fix it up. So she becomes the shadchan for the conception of Adoneinu David. It's Ayam Benoira, mamish, a gift from Shemayim. Think about how the Ribbono Shel Olam is Mesabev Sivuvim, Laval Yidach Mimenu Nidach, even Hagar has a tikkun. But Yishmael has no connection to the Har Bayis. We're going to have a minion to daven up here. Anyone? Okay, we have six and then four of you are stuck. Okay, so we're almost done.
Hagar also had all this after
Keturah, all kinds of other stuff. I can't explain everything right now. But one more thing. Yishmael's connection to the Harabayas is him and a Chamar have something in common. They both have no shaychus, connection, kesher to the Harabayas. They have no appreciation of the Harabayas. You know, the end of Parshas Chayisara talks about the various families of Yishmael, and it ends off, Al Pnei Kol Echav Nafal. On the face of all of his brothers, he falls. And juxtaposed to that is Ve'ele Toldos Yitzchak. The Baal HaTurim says, when Yishmael falls in the end of days, that's when Mashiach ben David will flourish. The Gemara, the end of Masechta Makos, tells us, and we've said this over many times, that the Tanoim went up to the Har Habayis, they went up to Yerushalayim, and they saw Shual, a fox, emanating from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, what was their reaction? They were crying. Rabbi Akiva's Mitzachek. Who do we know is Mitzachek? Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva and Yitzchak. Was Mitzachek. They said, why are you Mitzachek? He says, this is the place where God promised. They said, how could you laugh? This is a place where no Zara is allowed to enter. And now, Shualim Halchubai, how could you not cry? Says Rabbi Kiva, I'll tell you why I'm Mitzachek. Because if the prophecy of Shualim Halchubai is being fulfilled, certainly the prophecy of Oid Yeshvu Zakenim Zakenois, that the day will come when old men and old women will be sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim from old age, and children will be playing in the streets. Now that I see their foxes, now I know that the Gula is coming. There's a student of Reb Chaim Vital, Reb Binyamin Vitali. he wrote a sefer on Echa called Aloin Bachos. He says, what's the significance of the Shu'alim? He says, Shu'alim have the same oisiyos as Yishmael. When you see the Shu'alim, when you see those Yishmaelim prancing on the Harabayas, it's a joke. They have no connection to the Harabayas. That's not prayer. That's not service. That's not connection. You know what it is? It's a mockery. It's mitzachek. You think they see the anan kosher. You think they see vayaras hamakoim. Their connection to Harabayis is the same connection as shavulachem payim hachamar. So when you see the ascendancy of Yishmael, you should know someone's coming right after. As soon as Yishmael begins to rise, al pnei kol echav nafal, they're going to fall. And then what are we going to see? Ve'ela toldois Yitzchak. Says about Aturim, then we're zoicha kishe yipoil Yishmael ba'achris hayomim oz Yitzmach ben David. Then David HaMelech, what's David's connection specifically to Yitzchak? Yitzchak is 208. Pinchas Eliyahu is 208. Kates Chai, the end is alive. And the ascendancy of Yishmael caused Rabbi Akiva to laugh. Mitzachek. He says this is a joke. This is not a connection to the Harabayas. The connection of Yishmael, it's the connection of the Shu'alim, it's the connection of the Chamar. And ultimately, the episode of the Akedah is V'yirash Zaracha is Shar Oivav, is how we overcome Yishmael. So Marv Raboisai, that's very nice. What's that got to do with us? Says the Shlach HaKadosh, every single Jew has an area in life that's difficult for them. And that is your Akedah. Whether it's getting up in the morning to daven with a minyan, whether it's to learn every day, whether it's to immerse yourself in learning, whether it's a mitzvah that a person struggles with, that is a person's Akedah. And when a person commits to it and overcomes their nisayon, that's the Akedah with which a person is zoicha, v'yirash, zaracha, es, shar, oyevav. That's how we overcome Yishmael. And that's certainly our opponent now in our times. And everybody has to say, what can I do? What is my Akedah? How am I going to overcome this guy who showed up last night? He came back to the house. He came back, and the father saying, which one? And you got to prove it's me. He doesn't see the cloud. He doesn't see the Shekhinah. So everyone should identify how the Akedas Yitzchak is relevant to their own life. And in that schus, we should be able to overcome the final enemy. And bizoicha to ve'ela toldos Yitzchak with the ascendancy of Mashiach ben David. Next week, Raboisai, the shir is going to be a different night. It might be very early in the week, maybe even Sunday night. So we'll keep you in touch.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.